Thanks so much. You're welcome to have your seats. Can I ask for the main lights tonight? Would that be all right if we can have them on? Won't you just look at a neighbor quickly? Say, good evening, neighbor. Some of you didn't even look at a neighbor, poor neighbor. Welcome to church. Welcome to all our online family, Facebook, YouTube, and everybody in the house. You excited to be in church tonight? I tell you this, I believe that this month of May is going to be an incredible time for us as a church. Really felt that the Lord spoke to us about families. And the more we've prayed into that, the more we've spoken about it, just after this morning service as well, just so aware that God is going to do something amazing in the next couple of weeks. I want you to come to every single service that you attend, morning, evening, doesn't matter, that you would come with an expectation that God would do something for you and for your family. Whether you come alone, whether you're not sitting next to your spouse, whether there's whatever havoc, chaos in your family, it doesn't matter. Come to church and believe God for the impossible. Will you do that? Won't you open your Bibles with me? Genesis chapter number 1. What I want to do tonight is I want to lay a foundation on families. Next couple of weeks, we'll be speaking about marriages, children, single parenting, just a whole lot of things that we want to dive into. Every dynamic around family we want to speak about, open the Word together and just see what God brings to us. But tonight I want to lay a foundation, just something that we can build on in the next couple of weeks. I believe God wants us to understand how He sees family. It's very difficult to come and say, God, restore this or give me this or add to me this if we don't see how Jesus sees family. So let's start at the beginning, Genesis chapter number 1. And if we've got that ready on the screen, I'd love for you to read with me. We're going to be reading from verse 26. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. I was blessed this morning when Pastor Gebert shared on this as well. By the way, if you missed this morning's service, make sure to watch it. It was an incredible service, just an amazing start to this series. And we're just going to build on that tonight. So Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. Then the Lord said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I'm going to read this in the Message translation as well. I love the Message. Sometimes it gives the Word to us in a way that helps us to understand what God is busy saying. So listen to what the Message says. Verse 26 to 28. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature. So they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. And every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike. Say with me, godlike. Some of you didn't say anything. Say godlike. God created you to be godlike. Reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. And God blessed them and He said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth. Take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea, birds in the air, and every living thing that moves on the face of this earth. There's so much in that scripture. We could probably preach a whole series just in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26 to 28. That's God's original intent. The reason why He made you and me. So that we can be formed in His likeness and to go and have a dominion. I want to share with you three things tonight that I believe the Lord wanted me to highlight when it comes to laying a foundation on where we want to build from regarding families. And I want to briefly share and not take a lot of time because I believe the Lord wants to minister to specific people tonight. And I want to trust the Holy Spirit that He will minister tonight and really touch families in a special way. Come on, is there anybody that wants to say, God, come and have Your way with me? So there's three things that I want to highlight. First thing that we see in the scripture is God says, let us make a man in our image. We can easily read over that scripture and miss the fact that God had the intent, the original idea, the design, the plan was God's idea from the beginning. Marriage, God's idea. Families, God's idea. And we've got to understand that, because if we understand that it's God's idea, it helps us to understand that God sees families as something very important. God values families. Come on, anybody with me? Am I still at the right church tonight? You've got to help me there, my brother. God values families. He sees them as important. It's incredible if we look through scripture, it's like families are just written through every single page of your Bible. Right through the Old Testament, it starts in Genesis chapter number 1 and 2 with Adam and Eve. And God builds families, and we see God unfolds this plan, not just for families, but the restoration of families throughout the Old Testament. He wraps up the book of Malachi saying that his intent will be to send a messenger that will turn again the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the father. New Testament starts with John the Baptist on the scene, and he does exactly what God said in the Old Testament he will do. He comes to restore families. He says, this is why I'm here, to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. I have come to restore. Jesus comes on the scene. What I love about Jesus is he doesn't just speak about families. He actually shows us how to build family. He calls around him 12 men. Not just 12, many other people that he journeyed with. He invited every single person into his household. Tax collectors, prostitutes, everybody followed him. He had life with people. He went to sleep at people's homes, spent the night at Peter's mom's house. Or Peter's house, where Peter's mom was there. Mother-in-law, if I remember correctly. Jesus just had life with people. Wherever he went, he had family. He sat around dinner tables and shared meals with people. It's interesting how we have deviated from God's plan and how Jesus showed us the beauty of relationship, of family, of building into people. And we have reduced family, I think, to a large extent to something that we think family should look like. Paul comes on the scene, which writes 2/3 of your New Testament. And Paul describes the church not as an army, not as a bride, but he uses this one word primarily as he speaks about the church, and he uses the name household. He says the church is the household of God. That word household is a word oikonomos, and it speaks about family, it speaks about relationships, it speaks about different orders and people with different responsibilities in this household. There's land, there's assets, there's structure, there's a household, there's family. And Paul uses this, he says, we are the family of God. It's like two people that's excited to be part of the family of God tonight. He says, this is the household of God that we are called into. And throughout scripture, we see God's intent for family. I want you to know that your family is important to God. It's one thing to know that family is important. It's quite another to know that for Darby and John, that God is saying, your family, those two boys sitting next to you, you and your boys are important to me. The Brooks family, it's important to me. Dion, Francesca, even if it's just you now and the kids will follow later, you as a family unit are important to me. God is heavily invested in families. I'll show you as we continue through some scriptures tonight and sharing some thoughts that God has built everything around us on the concept, the basic building blocks of families. Society is built on family. It was God's model on which he built everything else, family. Interesting that before God was a judge, a king, a savior, he was a father. He was a family man from the very beginning. He calls you his child. Family. God is interested in families. And sometimes I think we miss the beauty of what God wants to do in families because family is not our priority. I'm not sure if I'm still speaking to the right church.
And let me just say as a short disclaimer here, I'm not speaking as the perfect father, the perfect husband, the perfect family man here tonight. It's many a times where I feel like I'm failing miserably. And then I realize it's only by His grace that I'm able to do what I do. To be the best husband that I can be to my wife, to be the best father that I can be to my children. It's only by His grace. But God is interested in this. And if we are not, we will miss the beauty of what He wants to do. We've seen it in so many different ways in our family life. The moment we turn our attention to what God sees as most important, it's like we can see the blessings that God gives into what He esteems as important. But if my eyes are fixed on many things around me, then I miss the beauty of what God wants to do in me and in my family. If you can trust God for your families more, you will see more breakthrough in your families. I guarantee you. And I'm not saying this in a weird way. I'm saying this and I mean it, that God wants to show Himself strong on your family's behalf. God wants to show Himself as your provider. God wants to show Himself as the one that can restore. He's interested in your family. Why? Because it was His idea from the beginning. He knew which person will find which person. He knew that you'll be married to the one sitting next to you. You might think at times it's a disaster. God says, I can work with that. I can turn chaos into order. I can bring beauty out of ashes. I can do anything. I'm not caught off guard. I wasn't caught off guard when you married the person that you married. And even if you married for the wrong reasons, God can turn something beautiful into what you see as a mess right now. You might look at your children and say, God, you know, where did they come from? Whose are these? You might feel like, God, I feel like either killing them or myself at times. I'm telling you now, if you would trust God, if you would believe that God values that child as truly magnificent and awesome and beautiful, you will see God do things in that child's life. Come on, we've got to trust God more. We've got to believe that He believes, that He loves, that He cares for your family unit. Every time you bring your children, your spouse, or wherever before the Lord, you've got to believe that God listens intently to what you pray. And He desires to show Himself strong on your family's behalf. I want to preach and speak to fathers that feel like they messed up and they don't know what they're doing. I want to speak to mothers that feel like they're not doing the things right that they want to do. I want to speak to children, parents. I want to speak to myself tonight, because sometimes we feel like, God, I'm failing. I don't know what I'm doing here. But God wants you to know that He's your biggest supporter. He will do anything possible to show you that He loves you and He loves your family. If you're a single parent here tonight or listening online, I want to tell you tonight that God does not see you as weak, as unable, as disqualified. Amen. Because He's your God. He's the husband. He's the father. He can be everything that you need. But we've got to turn our attention to Him tonight and say, God, we recognize that family is Your idea from the beginning. And we've got to understand that God loves families. That's why He says, I don't want people to separate, because He knows the destruction it will bring. Not just to them, but to children and family. And I'm not saying we live in a perfect world where those things will never happen. We live in a world where we see too much of that happening. Families being broken. But I'm here to give you a message of hope tonight. I'm here to tell you, not because I feel like it's a good thing to say, but because the Lord has said that He wants to restore families. He wants to take us back to that original intent so that we can be who God created us to be, not just as individuals, but as families. Second thing that we see in the scripture, first thing God says, let us make, meaning it was His intent, His design, His blueprint, His thought from the very beginning. Number two, He said, let us make them in our image. Pastor Gilbert preached a brilliant sermon on that this morning. And I think sometimes we miss how much of God is reflected through the family unit. Can I say that again? Your family, broken as it might be, is a reflection of who God is. It's like seven people that believe me. Your family is a reflection of who God is. Let me use an example. How difficult will it be for us as believers to understand the concept that God is a father if you never had something like an earthly father? And so much of our family unit displays who God is as a Godhead. And the reality is that we can accurately or inaccurately display God through our family unit. And I think that's what God wants to bring us back to. That not just as individuals, but as families, that people will look at that Ninober family and say, wow, I can see the beauty of God the Father. I can see the character of the Son that loves his Father and submits to the will of his Father. I can see a wife submitted to a husband that reflects that beauty of the Holy Spirit, that humility, that absolute servitude, that he would come and live in a man to serve the will of the Father. That people can look at family units and say, I see the beauty of God in them as a family. Have you ever thought about that? Let's take your family unit. I believe, you know, the title of the message tonight is The Enemies in Our Family. But the more I just spend time with the Lord this week, the more I realize that actually no enemy has power over the family unit unless we give power to the enemy. Come on. I refuse to believe that, you know, we've got to have some 24/7 spiritual ADT, you know, activated the whole time looking for devils that wants to creep into our family. No. God says, I've made this family unit as a unit that represents me as the Godhead. I've placed myself in them. I am with you. I am for you. I've given all authority to you. I'm telling you now, the way that the enemy destroys families are from within, not from without. It's from within. It's people broken within themselves that breaks other people. I believe the biggest challenges for us in families is not what the world throws at us. Because let's be honest with one another, it doesn't matter what the world throws at your family. If your family unit is securing God, the world can pretty much throw anything at you. It doesn't matter what media says or social media says. If you as parents raise your children in the way of God, it doesn't matter what anybody says to them. They will always walk in truth. Why? Because you have given them the truth to walk in. So let's not fear the devil that wants to come and steal. Let us look at the way that we give an opportunity for brokenness in our own families. Number one way I believe that happens is when a father misrepresents the father's heart towards his children. Dads, are you here tonight? We must be an accurate representation of the heart of the Father towards our children. They must look at us as fathers and see that God that revealed himself to Moses that says, I am the gracious one, compassionate, slow to anger, forgiving, rich in mercy. That's the Father. That's the God that revealed himself to Moses. That's how I should reveal the Father to my children. Yes, one that is stern. Yes, one that disciplines out of love, but one that is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger. One that loves. It's interesting how many times in the Bible Paul writes it, Peter writes it, Paul writes it to different churches. I just was amazing this week again how many times Scripture says, fathers, don't anger your children. Meaning I can operate in a way that actually angers, that aggravates, that breaks my children. And God says that's an inaccurate reflection of who I am as a father. Bible says, Paul writes Ephesians, oh, it's such a beautiful chapter 5 and 6. He speaks about husbands and wives and children. He speaks to the wife. He says, wife, be ye submissive to your husband. It's incredible in how many circles ladies feel like that's a swear word. It's like, what? You want me to do what? Be what? Submissive. It's amazing how many, well, year after year, marriage camps, marriage courses, that question will always come out. Pastor, sorry, just want to ask one thing. You know, what does it mean to be submissive to my husband? It's like everybody's got a problem with that. But then we read Philippians chapter number 2 and it says that Jesus submitted himself and came in the form of a man. He was obedient to his Father. He submitted to him in such a way that he even died on a cross. The Holy Spirit submitted himself to the instruction of the Father and he came as a gift from the Father and made a home in you and me. And we feel like, no, I'm not going to submit to anybody. Awfully quiet in the house right now. I don't know where all the ladies have gone. But if we understand the beauty of submission, we will not see it as something negative. We will understand that it's something to be celebrated. Oh, that is a great place to say amen. Ladies, gents, doesn't matter who. Submission has got everything to do with position. God has given every single person in the family unit a position of authority. Husband and wife. And God says, be ye submissive to one another out of reverent fear for God. So what God is busy saying, he's saying that I gave a position to the lady and I gave a position to the man. And that position of authority is I want the woman to be submitted to, because if you submit to that and the husband submits himself to the father, then we have a working family unit. I don't want to go into submission tonight. I'm just saying that if you as a woman, a wife, does not live with that kind of an attitude towards your husband, you are inaccurately reflecting some of the beautiful characteristics that we see in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And your children will look at you and then you will one day teach them, you've got to be humble and submissive. But then they look at you and they say, well, you've not been humble and submissive towards Father. You've been everything but. All I've seen is rebellion. So, of course, you would never do that. I mean, I'm just speaking to the online crowd now. My apologies, guys, in the building. Just online crowd. How many people does not live resisting the instructions that the Word gives us? Because we don't understand the beauty of that. How liberating it is to live with that kind of an attitude towards one another. Parents. Our instruction is to raise our kids in the ways of God. Not in our understanding, not in our ways. Not in Oprah Winfrey's opinion of what a child's journey should look like. Not Dr. Phil, not the Haystemoon. But it's what the Bible teaches us to raise our children. Can I just speak, while we're speaking about submission, I mean, I don't want the ladies to feel like I'm just going one side. Your husbands, what does the Bible say? That same Paul writes to the same Ephesian church, chapter number 4, or verse number 4, and he says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. Thank you, Anben. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. How did Christ love the church? Died for the church. My wife will have no problem submitting to my headship if I love her with that kind of a love. I read a book a year or two ago and ran up to one of our marriage courses. Short little book, author, it's not important. A whole lot of marriage principles that this guy threw out there, which sounds brilliant, but not on one of the pages on that book, interesting, did I find that scripture. Husband, love your wife with a sacrificial kind of a love. Friends, we can't formulate our ideas of how marriage should look like. Our husband should love and our woman, wife should love, operate, act, not act. We can only look to the pages of our Bibles and see God's intent for families. And let me just say this. I've said this in different contexts before. Everything has been designed by God to work in a specific way. This whole universe has been designed in a specific way. And if I will follow His design, everything works. If I don't follow the design, it's a disaster. You can be pretty, you can be rich, you can be famous. If you don't follow the design, will not work. Life has been designed according to God's blueprint. Marriage, parenting, it's been designed according to His blueprint. Children, and there I speak to everybody, because you might not be a father or a mother, but everybody here is a child. Some of you clicked that for the first time in your lives, like, oh yeah, that's true. That's... I want to speak to us as children, and maybe specifically to those of our young people with us tonight. I don't clap too soon now. That's still living with their parents. I want to say to you that we live in a society today where children are misrepresenting the character of the Son. Where we are misrepresenting Jesus in the way that we respond to authority. And once again, I know that you'd never do that. Maybe just some people online. But I want to speak to us. If your parents are still alive, I want to ask you this question tonight. Do you live a life in honor towards your parents? And don't say, but Eric, you don't know my parents, or you don't know what my dad has done, or you don't know what my mom has done. Bible gives us that instruction. It says, children, honor your parents. And it's interesting that there's a promise that goes with that command. He says, if you do, you will live a long life. Eh? How powerful is that? And nowhere did the Bible there say, if your parents are like good parents, then you honor them. Because we honor beyond mistakes of people. And I feel like God wants to restore things in the next couple of weeks, and He wants to bring people back together, and He wants to mend relationships, and specifically between children and their parents. And I want to charge us as children of our parents tonight, that we would live a life in honor of our parents. Irrespective of their mistakes, that you would love them and honor them, because that's what God requires of us. And may in this evening, as the Holy Spirit continues to move in our hearts, may He put His finger in every heart where there has been breakdown in relationships between people and their parents. God doesn't want that. Can I just say that outright? God doesn't want brokenness in relationships. He calls Himself the one that restores, the one that heals, the one that mends things back together. That's His heart. He wants to restore. And it's so easy in the day and age that we're living in for relationships to end up in some form of brokenness. But we must be the agents of change. That relationship between you and your parent will only restore if you go back home tonight and say, Mom, Dad, forgive me for what I have done wrong. You might feel like they've done 1,000 things wrong and you've maybe done one or two. It doesn't matter. It's when we act in that opposite spirit towards people that have wronged us that the Holy Spirit has the power to restore things supernaturally. If God allows, maybe the next couple of weeks I'll teach on that. What it means to live a life in the opposite spirit. The world requires us to live in a specific way, but God says there's another way. James speaks about it in James chapter number 3, 16 to 18. He calls it the wisdom of this world versus the wisdom of God. And I'm telling you now, if we would apply the wisdom of God in the day and age we're living in, we will see families restored. If we apply the wisdom of this world, families will just continue to break down even further, more and more and more. How do I know that? Well, we can just see how over the last couple of decades, it's like year after year, it's just get worse and worse. Divorce numbers just gets more and more. Brokenness in families, more and more. It's just, it accelerates. And the only way that we can change is if we apply the wisdom of God. If we come in an opposite spirit. If I apply the word of the Lord in a situation where everything inside of me says, no, that's not how I want to do it. But if I submit myself to His will, His word, God is able to restore. So number one, family was His idea from the beginning. Number two, family is a reflection of who God is. Number three, we've got to understand that there is purpose to family. Won't you say that with me? Purpose to family. There's purpose to family. I want the worship team to join me quickly. Won't you come? Purpose to family. As we engage with different people and different forms of counseling and just different ways in which we engage in family ministry in this church, it's become more and more visible that many people live with the idea that family is there for their benefit. I know that you would never think that, but just let me finish. Many people live with that idea that the family is there for my benefit. I'm part of this family. It's supposed to bring me great joy. Though joy is a blessing that comes from family, it's not the purpose of family. Many people say, well, I find my security in my family. Many people believe that that's the family unit and that's what it's supposed to offer them. Absolutely, security is a blessing that comes from family, but security is not the purpose of family. So here's my question to you tonight, everybody online as well. What is the purpose of family? Why are you in a family? Is it just because God likes it and He wants to show the world who He is through your family? I believe there's more to that. Is it just about living together in a house with 2, 3, 5, or some of you 10 people? is that the purpose? Just to sort of have life together, grow old, and then start your own family? See, if I don't understand the purpose of family, I'll never live in purpose. And in churches, we often speak about what is the purpose of you as an individual. We've spoken about that a lot over the last couple of years. As purpose has just been redefined in what we see our kingdom purpose is as people. But what is God's purpose, His plan for family? Is our worship team here? Yeah, this is pretty much what I need. Can I do like a quick demonstration here quickly? Is that all right? Okay, I won't. Can I do a quick demonstration quickly? Okay, keyboard, give me absolutely no sound there. So I want Clinton and Corneille, I want all our musicians, vocals, I'll call on you in a moment. Aiden, you've got to be ready. I'll call on your voice first. I want you to quickly think of your favorite song. Clinton, you don't, I know you've got one, but then just Corneille, but favorite song. Okay, and if you've got it in your head, just raise a hand. You've got your favorite song in your head. It's got to be in your head. Just, guys, is this too difficult? It's like, haven't you got a favorite song? Okay, Cornay, Clinton, you ready? Favorite song? You got one? Kayla, has you got a favorite song? She doesn't know either. Okay, but just think of any song then. You've got a song. Favorite song? Okay, all right, okay. I want to demonstrate something here because I think sometimes we look at families from our perspective. That's where the problem comes in many a times. It's like my family needs to sing my song. So we're going to start with you, but and I want you to play your song. You don't have to sing, just play your song. And it doesn't matter if we know it or not, just play your own song. Doesn't have to be a gospel song, but that's beautiful, but okay. Play your favorite song. If it's difficult, just make sure that your ears are blocked properly. Okay, Clinton, play your favorite song, but just let it rip. Okay, but fire away. Give us your favorite song there. I love this. This is beautiful, man. Okay, Cornay, favorite song. Okay, stop. Okay, so Cornay would be like the overpowering father in the house. It's just like, I don't care what you guys are singing, this is my song, okay? Okay, and he is the oldest anyway, so he can have that role. It got lacquer when Cornay climbed in with a dick beat there, but before that it was somewhat chaos, wouldn't you agree? I figured out like one song, the rest was just... It was chaos. It's a simple example. It's a simple demonstration. Point I want to make is this. If this is a family unit, then this is how most families in the world operate. Clinton wakes up in the morning and everything in his life is about playing his favorite song. It's what Pastosties or Fritos or, no, not Fritos, what's OTs or whatever. Fritos is chips. Okay, maybe you eat chips for breakfast. I don't know. But it's about what he wants to eat. It's about where he wants to go. It's about what he wants to do. And same holds for every single person on the stage. In your family unit, it might look like that at times as well. And if we have to be real honest, that's how most families operate. Is we find some form of togetherness, but it doesn't mean because they're on stage together that they're actually producing a sound that's beautiful. And if we had to carry on like this, one of them eventually would have said, okay guys, I'm out of here. This doesn't work. I mean, since Cornelius started bashing the drums, nobody's hearing my keyboard anyway, so I'm just leaving. And that's how many families end up broken. I'm not just talking about marriages. Some kids feel overpowered by their parents in such a way that they themselves have no place to express themselves. And they leave. Some parents are so ill-treated by their children that they wish they could leave. So what is the purpose of family? Where's Aiden? I'm going to call on Aiden to bring some order to our chaos here. Aiden, I want you to pick a song, but Aiden is like the Holy Spirit in a family. Pastor Gilbert just had such a good demonstration as well this morning. When I saw it, I was like, beautiful. It's just going to tie in so good with what the Lord has laid on my heart as well. That without the Holy Spirit, there's no us. It's only me and me, or you and me. But if we as a family can say that we all fine with giving Him the lead, and then we will follow, then something might just happen.
We have
the lights. You're welcome to be seated. Just hang around here. Don't lose the tune, but so God says in Genesis chapter number 1, He says, so let us make man in our image and our likeness. And then He gives us the purpose of family. He says, so that they can go and have dominion. Message Bible, we read it earlier, said so that they can go and take charge of this earth. Friends, I want to submit to you tonight that God has not placed your family unit together so that you can have a good time, so that you can have movie nights on Fridays, school trips on weekdays, and just see your kids grow old and leave the house and duplicate the same thing that you did. No, no, no. God put you together so that you can have dominion. Dominion is ruling on God's behalf. Meaning when I look at my children, I see two daughters and a son that needs to have dominion where they go. Whether they go to school, whether they go and play a sports game, whether they hang around at children's church, but where my children go, they must be children of dominion. Where my wife works, where I work, where I go, where I live, where I move, and everywhere where I have my being, I have dominion. As a family unit, we come together in one voice, one sound, and we produce dominion on this earth. God didn't say, let me create families, but the man will have dominion. He said, you, as people, go fill the earth, be fruitful, multiply, which by the way, you can't do as an individual. Once again, go and have dominion. And you know what's beautiful about a family that lives in dominion? This happens. All of a sudden, we've got some backing vocalists on the scene as well. It's like I'm singing with as well. Interesting that a family that has dominion, everybody on the block knows that family. True story. When there's some sort of a challenge in the neighborhood, the people go to that family. When that child has been brought up in the ways of God, that's the child that everybody in the class goes to when there's challenges, because they see this is a person that lives in dominion. It has the power to have a people surround them, stand and sing with them. Why? Because they live a life of purpose. Woe unto us if we go through this month of May and speak about families and just give a couple of tick boxes. Do this, that's good parenting, that will spice up your marriage, that will make things better, and then see what happens. It's like we just throw a couple of ingredients in a pot and hope it tastes nice when we're done. That's not how God gave us instruction in His Word. He says, no, 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 go and have dominion. There's a blueprint. Husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church, meaning love your wife in such a way that everybody that looks at you says, that guy will die for his wife. All the 100 other tips will fall into that one. I guarantee you, if a husband loves his wife like that, he's got everything else covered. I promise you that. Wife, be submissive to your husband. Love your husband in such a way that it looks like the Holy Spirit and Jesus in submission to the Father. That everybody else will look at and say, I want to have a life like that. I want to have a marriage like that. I want to love my husband like that. Children, love your parents like Jesus loved His Father. That He would come to earth and be nailed to a cross because He came in obedience to the instruction of His Father. He Himself said, Father, if this cup can pass me by, please let it. There were times where he doubted, God, is this the only way? Father, is this really what you want me to do? I'm telling you in this evening, if you honor your parents without terms and conditions, God will honor you and you will live a long and fruitful life in the land that He has given you. You will prosper in every single area of your life. There's kids here tonight, and I'm just throwing that out, maybe online. I felt that as I prayed this afternoon, God said to me, there's children, you need to go home after the service and wash your parents' feet. And sit before your mom and your dad and say, Dad, I ask that you would forgive me for everything that I have done to harm you. Every word that I've uttered, every form of rebellion that I've allowed under your roof, forgive me tonight. If you would humble yourself before your parents like that, God will lift you up. God will lift you up. And some of you might be 30 and 40 years old and you still need to do the same thing. I'm not speaking to our youth here. I'm speaking to every person that have violated their relationship with their parents. I'm telling you, you will forever look back on this day and say, if I only in that moment responded and went to honor and restore my relationship with my parents. Don't wait another day. You don't know how long you have them. Honor them, love them. Doesn't matter how many mistakes they've made. You have made a ton as well. And maybe that expression of heavenly love will be the very thing that changes the heart of your parents. These parents here tonight, you've aggravated your children. You've not raised them in the ways of God. You have been mean to them. Stop it. Stop it. Because you will lose them. The moment they have the opportunity to leave your house, they will. And you will miss the moments that you had with them. Love them. Parents, there's nothing wrong with asking your children for forgiveness. And some of you need to do that. You need to take that little boy or girl, doesn't matter how old or young they are, look them in the eyes and say, forgive daddy for what he's done. Restore that relationship. Because you will never find this kind of harmony. You will never live a life of dominion as a family if you don't. I want to speak lastly to people here that's come from broken families, or you don't have a family, or it's irreparable in whatever way. This is why Jesus said, I call this, the church, a family, a household. Because in this family, you can find restoration, you can find help, you can find healing. Doesn't matter how broken your family is, whatever broken marriage you come from, in this church, the invitation comes from God. He says, become part of this family. Find healing, find restoration here. Can we just take a moment and allow God to just minister to every single one of us individually? Just there we are. Close your eyes for a moment. Everybody online, just if you're driving, don't. But otherwise, just close your eyes. Won't you just take stock of your own life for a moment? So much of God's word is built on the principle of forgiveness and restoration. And I'm not here to place a heavy on anybody, but I want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to minister to you. And if there's areas in your family life that needs restoration, then I want you to engage with God in that now.